The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Thank you so much for being with us on yet another program, Afternoons with Mike, heard daily here on the Shepherd Radio Network. One of the speakers, he's going to be doing a breakout session at next month's Big Business Expo, put on by the U.S. Christian Chamber, is going to be Brad Johnson. Now, Brad is from, he actually lives in the Kentucky area, not very far at all from where I was recently located during a couple of days away with some family who going through some difficult times up in Kentucky. And he's out of the Lexington area in actually Wilmore, I believe, is where you work at Asbury, right? Brad Johnson, welcome to my program.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So good to be with you today.
I've enjoyed our chats on the phone so far, and even though we've not had that opportunity to sit down face-to-face and talk, you know, it's amazing with just technology being what it is, how we can do this. Friendships can form deeper than what one would think.
Amen.
Right over the phone. Amen. And that's what I have felt with you from day one, and I'm so grateful for you. And I'm kind of anxious to hear. I know you're a professor, an affiliate professor at Asbury Theological Seminary, and that, of course, was the site of a pretty big move of God last year.
Yeah, it was. So it was February the 8th. I was actually traveling to Colorado to teach at an extension site Asbury has there. And when I got there that night, my wife called and said, Brad, have you heard what's happening on the campus of Asbury University? And immediately my heart skipped 10 beats because our oldest son, Sam, last year was a freshman there. And the first thought was, there's been a shooting.
Yeah.
And she said, no. The students gathered for chapel like they do every Wednesday at 11 or at 10. And they're still there. They never left, and it's growing.
Yeah.
And she called me the next morning and said they've been there all night, and it just kind of grew and grew, and it just became a mighty movement of the Lord, and we got to live through it right here, at Ground Zero.
That is so wonderful.
Extraordinary experience.
Oh, I can't even imagine
the effects of which I still feel. I'm different. And I'll always be different because of it.
Well, now I'd like to drill down in that, if we can, for just a moment, because that went on for a couple of weeks anyway. How long was it exactly?
I think the campuses here were hosting, in their spaces for about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think it's what it was, yeah.
I had a chance to talk with a pastor from the Midwest. I think he was near St. Louis, that traveled to there just for the express purpose of being in one of those meetings, which when it was going on, and again, it was like a nonstop prayer meeting, a nonstop worship time. And, you know, when he was there, he said it was like that the Spirit of God was thick enough that you could just cut it with a knife. I mean, it was that kind of a thing. And you walk in. In fact, he said, as he approached the campus, he felt the presence of God.
Yeah.
And you know, that just doesn't happen. And I know you know that, and we all know that. What, you know, when you think about that, what kind of impact did it have on some of the students that you would have known or you would have taught? What did you see happening?
It was like the fruit of the Spirit was being held in a basket in the sky, and the bottom of that basket just dropped out. And the fruit just poured out over this community. I saw the best of people I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
My wife, on Friday night, so this started on a Wednesday, on Friday night, she took our three younger sons, who are all teenagers, over to the university, to Hughes Auditorium, where worship was happening. Of course, this was the earliest stages of it. And she called me later that night, and she said, Brad, it was like there were drops of rain just on my skin.
Oh my goodness.
Just gentle rain. And the power of the presence of the Spirit was overwhelming. And Mike, when she told me that 1,000 miles away, I felt it.
Wow. Well,
and I came back different. I came back different.
Even though you weren't there. Yeah.
That's 1,000 miles away.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And I think that could be a whole other conversation we might want to schedule for some time, because it's just rich. So rich.
It sounds like we need to do that, because not only that one little 2.5 week period of heaven coming to earth, if you will, but the bigger picture of what God is going to be doing in the days ahead, because it didn't just happen there at Asbury. There was a move on numerous campuses. And just recently, I don't know if you saw the picture of it or not, but there was a big move at FSU, at Florida State University, just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Praise God for that.
Yeah. And there were a number of people, I don't know how many hundreds of kids were gathered, but they were out on the lawn there in the very center of the university where there is a fountain, and they were having a baptismal service. And, and these kids who have not been believers were being baptized in the fountain on the FSU campus.
Praise God.
That is so cool.
Only his imagination. We cannot script this kind of stuff, can we?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And it caught not only the attention of everybody at Asbury, but of course the world too. And that was being featured on newscasts all across the country. So that's pretty great. Yeah, and I'm glad that you and your family were so impacted.
Yeah, there was one night we had 6 people sleeping in our home from 4 different places, and we didn't know any of them. Folks would just show up, and people in town would just open their homes and would take food out, would take water, would, you know, offer whatever care they could, and it was literally the best of humanity.
Well, revival is a marvelous thing. I've experienced that kind of thing a couple of times in my life, and it's hard to maintain. I remember we had a move of God that was a protracted one. It lasted over a year, maybe close to 2. And toward the end of that movement, of that season that we were all in, I remember having that sense that things were diminishing for whatever reason and wishing that we could find a way that we could maintain it, that we could kind of manage it, if you will. But you just can't manage God and his plan and his purpose. He's bigger than all of that. But boy, there was a song that came out. Some songwriter wrote a little chorus called Times of Refreshing during that season. And that's exactly what it was. It was, for all of us, a time of refreshing.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. If you look at the structure of Mark's gospel, you notice that right in the middle, the plot takes a dark turn when Jesus says, not once, but 3 times, boys, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die there.
Yeah.
And when he says it the first time in chapter 8, I think the disciples were just shell-shocked. You know, I just don't think they heard anything after that. Certainly not, oh, and by the way, after 3 days, I'll rise again. I don't think they heard that at all. And what we see in the very next movement, chapter 9, is the transfiguration. And I think that those events happened in such close proximity because those disciples needed to have a picture of the end. They needed to see where this train was headed. And I feel like these revivals, these times of refreshing, these outpourings, are vision casting things that just simply say, God's saying, let me give you a peek of what's to come. And by the way, you can experience this now. I'm broadcasting on a frequency with 100,000 watts. All you got to do is tune in. And I think the issue is not so much that God stops broadcasting, is that we just don't tune in.
Yeah.
And that burden's on us, I think.
You know, I wish we could have tuned in and locked that dial and not let it go away. Oh, it's so good to hear about that move. And I do pray that comes to cities everywhere. And these are days, are they not? These are days of desert. And it's almost like the what we read about in Psalm 63, where, you know, the land is dry and and thirsty for water. And that's what revival is. It's like a drink of water. Like you said, like the rain hitting her her skin. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's good stuff, and we have to do another program on that at some point. All right, tell us about yourself. You've not always been in that area, right?
No, yeah, we're natives of Indiana, actually, both my wife and I. And I can say this, Mike, what I'm doing in life now, I never, ever, ever would have imagined I'd be doing. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't show me at an early age, because I was just fool enough that I would have worked against it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I didn't work against it, because I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing, you know?
I agree completely. Now, what part of Indiana?
So I grew up just outside Indianapolis, between Indy and Lafayette. I'm a Purdue University graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife grew up in eastern Indiana, near a town called Richmond. And then she went to Indiana University. So we're kind of we're kind of a mixed marriage here, because those are the big rivals in Indiana.
The
Makers and the Hoosiers.
Yeah.
And I grew up out in the middle of nowhere. Cornfields, gravel roads, just me and my brother. And so, you know, we're living a different life. We're not exactly in a metroplex here in Wilmore, Kentucky, but at least we see sidewalks and streetlights.
Now, you know, I grew up in Evansville, which is just southwest of Indy, down there in the tip of the boot, if you will, of Indiana. Yeah. And we had cornfields all around, and I'm sure that when the movie Hoosiers came out, you saw that one, right?
Well, a lot of my friends were extras in it.
Really?
My dad had a chance to have lunch with Gene Hackman during the filming of it. My wife, Christine, is in one of the scenes.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of the players, who actually had he had several lines, but he had a line where he said something to the effect of, "Let's win this one for the coach." Well, I grew up with him and graduated with his brother, and he was a year older than me. And he was actually a very good basketball player in his own right.
Mm-mm.
So that's my stomping ground there.
All right, man, you've given me more than I would have ever bargained for in that little exchange right there. That is unreal. The year was 1986 when that came out, and my wife and I had moved to Florida from Indiana in August of 85. So my birthday is March the 1st, and a good friend in that first couple of months of living here, he'd become a good friend to me, took me, surprised me, picked me up, took me to an afternoon matinee, and we went to watch Hoosiers. And I sat there and cried during that movie. It made me so homesick and remembering what life was like there, because that's exactly the way I grew up. I mean, some of those school buildings that they used, I mean, that was all legit. That was all filmed in those places. And some of the schools in my city looked exactly like that.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, French Lick, I think, has mentioned Jasper, some of those areas. That's not very far from my hometown. So, and then the big final thing about that is in 19, let's see here, what would this have been? 1967, my high school won the big state championship, and that was North High School. Mm. And Bob Ford, who went on to play for Purdue, was the guy that led our team, and he grew up three doors down from me, and we played basketball all the time.
Yeah.
And you would have known the name Bob Ford, I would think, because he was a big broadcaster after that.
Yeah, I remember the name for sure.
Yeah, Ford Country.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Indiana is such a great legacy for basketball. You know the name Brad Stevens, former coach of the Celtics. Mm-hmm. I think he's the president of the organization now. He was actually in my youth group for a year when I was doing youth ministry in Zionsville, Indiana. So all kinds of great people produced from Indiana.
Well, I hope all of the Hoosiers that are hearing this are rejoicing that maybe a little touch of home has come their way.
Yeah.
But it's all very interesting. So you grew up, were you in the home of a believer?
Yeah, so we went to church some seasons. It was, you know, we'd go every Sunday, and other seasons not so much. But I remember, for whatever reason, feeling a little sheepish about my faith. And I don't know why. You know, my mom would just, you know, try to encourage me to talk and get me to, you know, ask any questions that I had. She was available for that. But I was kind of private. I remember stealing away at one point and picking up the only book in our home that I had not read. So I'm probably 12 years old, growing up in these, you know, gravel roads and cornfields, only my brother to play with. I'm not kidding, Mike. If the McKinnons drove by on one of their tractors from one farm to another, we ran out to wave because it was just good to see somebody.
I get it.
So I read every book that I had probably twice.
Oh, my goodness.
There was one book remaining that I had not read. And it was the Bible. So I picked up our family Bible. I got to reading through Genesis 1, creation. Genesis 2, thought, this is great. Genesis 3, you know, Adam and Eve and their mistake. And I thought, well, that's not so good. And then chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. And I thought, man, that sounds a whole lot like me and my brother, only we haven't killed each other yet.
At least not yet.
That's right. And, you know, kind of pressed on, got to Noah in chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and read about the flood and the ark, thought, this is really cool.
Wow.
And then I got to chapter 10, which is kind of this distribution of land and the naming of the nations. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to describe it as I encountered it back then. And I closed the book and I put it back in its place.
Yeah.
Because it disappointed me. Mm. It didn't live into my expectations.
Mm.
And it was a few years before I picked it up again, and I was probably 16, and had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, you know, baptized at a little country church out in the middle of nowhere, and I got to really fearing for my salvation, because I realized that the life I was living really wasn't consistent with the life I thought Jesus would have me live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shared my concerns about my salvation with someone older and wiser. And he said, Brad, if you're fearful for your salvation, you should read the book of Revelation.
Oh.
Because it'll scare the devil out of you. only he didn't say devil. And I thought, you know, if there's any of that in me, I want it scared out. So I went into, I don't know if this is appropriate for, you know, public consumption or not, but I went into the only room in our home where I could be assured absolute privacy.
Oh, the bathroom. Yeah.
In the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I locked the door and I picked up a copy of the Good News New Testament and I read Revelation.
Wow.
And I thought, this is fantastic. And I have no idea what I just read. And so I made a strategic move at 16 to read what comes right before it, you know, to make some sense out of it.
Now, wait a minute. That was a difficult word to use right there, since you're in the bathroom right there. I just want to point that out.
That's right. Yeah.
Moving experience.
Yeah, exactly. So I read the letter of Jude, which
had no bearing on
Revelation.
No.
I read 3 John. 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter. I worked my way through the New Testament in the bathroom in reverse order that summer.
Okay, we gotta take a break, and this is too great. I don't want to miss a minute of this story. So hold that thought right there, Brad. I'll be back. My guest today is Dr. Brad Johnson. He is the president of The Word Is Out, and he's also a professor at Asbury. He's going to be a speaker at next month's expo. I'll be back with him in a moment.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
All right, my guest today is Dr. Brad Johnson, and we left off the last segment with Brad in the bathroom reading the Bible.
Well, so much for our dignity there, Brother Mike.
This is one of my favorite intros to a segment ever. I loved it. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, so go ahead and proceed with that incredible story.
Well, you know, it's only incredible because of the grace of God. And I'll tell you, I'm reading through the New Testament in reverse order, and I really struggled, I have to confess, getting through Paul's letters because I didn't get it. Didn't know who he was. I didn't know who he was writing to. I didn't know the issues or even the words he was saying. I didn't know why we were reading someone else's mail, to be honest.
Right, yeah.
But I pressed on, and Mike, I'm so glad that I did, because when I got to the Gospels and I read the stories about Jesus, his life and his teaching for the first time, my life changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm different today because of that. I'm so grateful for that. I fell in love with the Word, and I fell in love with the one to whom the Word points. So that was a pretty radical encounter with Scripture. You know, I fast forward, I really went on to what I thought would end up being a great career. I was thinking, you know, going to law school after Purdue, and was involved in the Air National Guard in a flying slot.
You're
really
a pilot?
Started, what's that?
Are you a pilot? Is that what you said?
Well, I was. I didn't make it through a flying program with the Guard, but I was tracking through that.
Mm-hmm.
And had started in statewide politics. So here was my plan, Mike. This is a great plan. My plan was to, by the age of 30, be an attorney during the week, fly jets on the weekend, and become the youngest governor in Indiana's history.
There's nothing small about that plan. I mean, you're
going. That's a great plan.
You're going for the moon, man. That's great.
Well, the Lord had very different plans, and to make a long story much shorter, I ended up in youth ministry. And found that I really had a huge heart for that. I loved it. And really sensed the Lord calling me to that longer term. And the staff at the church recognized I really had not much training biblically or theologically, so they encouraged me to get some training. And one of the things that I did was to join a group for an experience called Disciple Bible Study, which was like a 30-some week comprehensive study of the whole Bible, curriculum developed through the United Methodist Church. So I did that. I came away with it with, for the first time in my life, the big picture of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a story, beginning, middle, and end. And what's more is I saw myself in that story. And it really set the hook on my hunger for studying God's Word. And it wasn't much longer after that that I found my way to Asbury Seminary down here in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 4 years, I drove back and forth every week. Christine and I were married at that point, no kids yet, but it was just an amazing experience. And I remember my second year taking a course with Dr. David Bauer there here on the Wilmore campus. And the course is... and was called inductive Bible study. And I thought, I don't even know what that is. But I had to take it, so I signed up. And by the end of the course, Mike, I was just so fundamentally different that not only was I reading Scripture differently, I was reading everything differently. I'm watching movies differently. I'm hearing songs differently. I'm looking at art differently. And the best way I can describe it is like that time in our recent history when the FCC shut down the analog broadcast of TV signals. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So up until then, we had like maybe four or five channels, you know, on TV if we didn't have cable.
And it went to high def. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got these digital converter boxes, and when we plugged an outdoor antenna into that box, what we saw on our screen was unlike anything we'd seen before. It was all digital.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, the textures, the detail, the sound, the number of channels. It was like a quantum leap.
Yeah.
For me, taking inductive Bible study and developing a set of skills to help me turn the volume down on what I think the Bible says long enough to hear what it actually might be saying was like plugging in that outdoor antenna to that digital converter.
Mm-hmm.
I see things I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot describe the richness and the satisfaction of that experience. I want everybody to have it.
You know, so far I've heard you talk about the beginning and then the end, and now you're in the middle of that Bible story that you were talking about. And what an important middle it is, isn't it, to find out the Gospels and to see and to go in and study through this inductive course as you did, and you get to see more and more and more about the person of Jesus. And when you do, when you get a hold of that, it's life-changing.
Amen. Yeah. You know, we're not perfect, but we're better.
That's right.
And I'll take that any day.
I'll take it any day as well. I remember one summer I spent where the Lord was calling me out of the way that I had been raised and the church that I'd been raised in, and was pulling me in a different direction. That summer, I had lots of time because the people that I worked for were traveling a lot, and so I was alone in the office a lot, and I spent as much time in the book of John as I could. And I started experiencing what I called then, because there was a TV and radio commercials about McDonald's, and they had the Big Mac attack, and how that at any time of day, you could have a Big Mac attack.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're running to McDonald's to get a Big Mac. Well,
right.
What I had, I called them Big John attacks, where I just felt an overwhelming draw to get to the book of John and to begin to read. And you know, the most uncanny thing, you were describing HD colors and all of that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I remember feeling... And the word I used back then was Technicolor. It was for, mm-hmm. I'm a lot older than you, see. So I was having suddenly Technicolor images of reading the stories of Jesus being harassed by the Pharisees. It was almost at times like I could hear the stones drop when they would talk about someone stoning another. I could almost feel the heat. I could smell the smells of the river. It was the most uncanny thing during those attacks.
Wow.
And it changed my life.
Wow. Well, praise God.
I get it, man. That's really awesome what happened to you.
Yeah.
Boy, that is great. And so... Here you're off and rolling, and at what point in time did it become clear to you that ministry was indeed, you said you're already doing youth ministry, a teaching thing. That's a whole other level right there.
Yeah, so I only went to seminary just because I wanted some training. You know, I wanted to be equipped for my work, and I didn't intend to leave youth ministry. So it was... 2004 that Christine and I actually moved down here, thinking we'd be here for 16 months for me to finish my master's work. And a year and a half later, couldn't find work back in Indiana for whatever reason. And the seminary offered me a 2-year teaching contract to teach as what they call a fellow. So for 2 years, I taught first-year seminary students Greek. But, you know, New Testament Greek, which is really a whole lot of fun, believe it or not. And they gave me a 1-year extension. So I taught a third year, and I began a PhD program here in biblical studies. And 3 years became 4, and 4 years actually became 8. So I taught full-time as a Greek teaching fellow for 8 years while I did my PhD.
Wow.
And again, I never saw that coming. Had I known that's what I would have ended up doing, I would have worked against it.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I didn't know, because I'm glad I did it.
You slid into it, my man.
I did. That's exactly right. I would almost say I was drugged into it.
Yeah.
Because I was a little bit of a reluctant participant here, you know.
What was your dissertation on?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked. That's a dangerous question.
Yeah.
So I'll put it to you this way. I argued that the first 15 verses of Mark's gospel were intentionally written as a prologue and effectively function as the screen crawl at the beginning of each Star Wars movie functions.
Mm.
It's just setting you up for what's about to happen, because what's about to happen is part of a much larger story.
A long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Far, far away. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's quite an image.
Yeah.
That's really great. And the book of Mark, I mean, the whole Synoptic Gospels, they are a joy to kind of read and compare to one another and see the things that one writer wrote about and another writer may have touched on but didn't completely cover it. And those three are such a joy to study.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is tremendous, man. You're a teacher. And what will this whole thing that you're doing with the ministry, explain that.
Yeah, so I oversee a ministry called The Word Is Out, and that was actually founded several years ago by an Irishman, a guy named Alan Meenan, who came to Asbury and studied inductive Bible study under really the pioneer of it, a guy named Robert Trana. And Alan was smitten with this, and he went on to pastor really large Presbyterian churches in the country. His last appointment was in Hollywood, California, at First Presbyterian there, a huge church.
And he would, in his words, do
40 hours a week of inductive Bible study, and then he would go preach it, preach the fruit. And at one point, he had 700 people a night attending a Wednesday night Bible study, fighting gridlock traffic in L.A. to get there.
Wow.
And he says that during one season of that Bible study, the cast of the Days of Our Lives daytime drama was there.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really, and Alan would say it's the method, it's the approach that's just so life-giving and liberating. Well, Alan's a really amazing human being anyway, so, you know, it's more than just that. But the professor who taught me inductive Bible study, David Bauer, is friends with Alan Meenan. And David just pulled me into his office one day randomly and said, what would you think about getting involved with The Word Is Out? Because they knew that Alan was thinking about slowing down and reducing some of his travel. So that began conversations, what I would call a courtship, that took place over 2 or 3 years. And here we are about 4 or 5 years later, and Alan's still involved, but on a very limited basis. I'm the acting president. He and I work very closely together, and we're having a ball.
That sounds like so much fun. I mean, to have a mentor like that you get to be involved with and still involved with, and he's overseeing that, but you get to take all the advantage of all the work that he did, and then you get to contribute your own role. That is just so cool.
Yeah, it is. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing. So essentially what we do, Mike, is we'll go wherever we're invited, and we'll teach people in ways that are appropriate to where they are, right, intellectually, academically. We'll teach them the principles of inductive Bible reading, and we'll help cultivate the character or the attitude of the inductive spirit with them, which is essentially just letting the text speak for itself. Like I said earlier, turning down the volume on what we think it says long enough to hear what it actually says.
Would that be the heart of what you would mean by inductive? Share about
that. That's exactly it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll contrast inductive reading with deductive reading. And so deductive reading, and this is a little overstated, but essentially is a reading approach that relies on ideas that we already have about faith and doctrine, the church, the nature of God. And we bring those with us to Scripture, and we read Scripture in light of those ideas. So essentially we're looking at the text of Scripture through the lens of what we think.
Mm-hmm.
We call those ideas presuppositions.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have them, and it's unavoidable, and it's not a bad thing. But sometimes they can really cloud our seeing and hearing of the text. An inductive posture would say, hey, I recognize I've got presuppositions. I know I've got my own ideas. can I set them aside long enough to give the text room to breathe and really see what's there, see all that's there, only what's there, and to see accurately what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially the, you know, the engine that drives the whole approach.
Letting the Bible interpret itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what you're doing right there. That's great. My goodness, that is so exciting. I had one other guest. I wish I could remember the name. This was several years ago that talked about inductive study. And that was so cool to hear his descriptions of all of that. But that's what you're doing. And that is part of the ministries of The Word Is Out. And so those two things, I know they keep you busy, but yet you've got another thing. We're going to be getting more into this into our last segment coming up in just a bit. But you're going to be speaking at the Expo in Orlando. How did you get involved with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Maureen Rousseau is our ministry partner engagement director. She's based in Orlando. She's come to know Crystal Parker, president of the U.S. Christian Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal was sharing with Maureen how Crystal felt that God had really placed on her heart, specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and how there are principles in that passage that really could and should speak into the lives of Christians in the marketplace.
Mm.
And Maureen said, hey, you know, I'm a part of this ministry that really champions Bible reading. And they began talking. And so Crystal graciously invited us to come alongside her and her team to really do some heavier lifting in 1 Corinthians to make sure that, you know, these principles that she's seeing are in fact legitimate, that they are coming from the text. So a team of us have been working on this for several months now, and we're getting ready to release a short series of videos where we're walking folks through 1 Corinthians, first from kind of a high-level view and drilling down into more detail. But that will culminate with our founder, Alan, and I leading one of the breakout sessions on the Friday of the expo. That's April 19th.
Well, I'll get a chance to meet you face-to-face because I'm going to be there.
Good.
Yeah, I'll be there in the expo room.
Lovely.
And set up. And boy, this is really great. My guest today, Dr. Brad Johnson. I'll be back with him in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
Boy, the time is flying by with Dr. Brad Johnson. He is from Wilmore, Kentucky, part of the Asbury staff there, and he's also president of The Word Is Out, and this whole thing of inductive Bible study and his involvement, as he was sharing before we took the break, in Orlando, just through it. Isn't it crazy how relationships that you would have with someone who happens to live down here kind of opens the door to all that God is doing in Central Florida and the chamber, and that it just kind of draws you guys in. Now you're coming down from Kentucky. And man, there are people coming. I think I heard Crystal say this morning, I believe 17 different countries are coming together.
Wow.
So from all over the U.S., as well as all of these other countries, they're coming together for this, what is surely to be a shared experience of God that is going to be so special. But just hearing your story, man, I can't wait for the impact you're going to bring on this breakout session. It's going to be great.
Well, anything good that happens will be by the grace of God, right?
That is right. I agree. This session is going to be within the conference, which is April 18th through the 20th. And you can find out information on that by going, just Google the U.S. Christian Chamber. And the Business Expo is going to be right there where you can click on that. You can find out information. You can register. Highly recommend that you do. It's going to be a great time. And that, again, is in April. And Dr. Johnson will be coming down along with several other guests. Have you met any of the other speakers that are coming in?
Briefly, we've done a couple of Zoom calls where we're just kind of coordinating and praying together. And that's been really good. But I'm really eager to meet everyone in person. I'm looking forward to that.
Have you met Ford Taylor yet?
I have not.
Oh, he's a great guy. And also Stephen Scoggins is going to be coming in. He's one of the keynotes, I believe, for the event.
Right.
So there, I've had them all on my radio program the last couple of weeks. And as we're leading up to this, this is such a really fun thing to look forward to. I'm excited about it. So with your position as a minister and as a professor, what do you see going on in the world today, Brad? First of all, from two different angles, in the world itself and then in the church, what do you see first of all, about the world that is either concerning or encouraging?
Yeah. You know, that is a great question, Mike. And it's I'm sitting here at my desk and I've got a big map of the world right next to my desk on the wall I'm looking at right now. And that's a really tough question because what's happening in the church, in the world, is so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really depends on where we're talking about. Because if you think about Europe, really the church is a non-entity largely. Now, there are people and movements and work that are being done, but that's such a secular society. If you go to, we have a center in Zambia, which is South Central Africa. You go to sub-Saharan Africa, you see Christianity is spreading like wildfire.
Right.
But the challenge there, and it's kind of a good news, bad news thing, that the challenge there is that it's growing on no foundation. There's no biblical foundation really to speak of at all. And so as a result, we're seeing pastors who are taking authority and in some cases doing more harm than good.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they're twisting the scriptures or they're ignoring them. And the people don't know the word. So we have a colleague from Kenya who is giving us reports that, you know, in the last year, a pastor had directed his congregation to starve themselves to death in order to meet Jesus. And they are still exhuming bodies from that.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've got a whole list of reports of just ridiculous things going on. So, you know, it's kind of tough. I think the mainline church here in the U.S. has really followed the culture and in so doing has lost its distinctiveness. It's lost its saltiness. It's really irrelevant. And they're dying, just drying up. But then again, we see also, this movements of God in places that we would never expect, and the reports I'm hearing of what's happening in Iran right now is just blowing my mind.
I'm hearing this that very thing. I had a chance to interview Dr. Shariat, and he says that the Iranians are in revival there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So to talk about what's happening in the church and the world, I think it's just so complex right now because of the diverse nature of the world. And just the various and diverse ways that the church is acting in those places and through those people groups.
Well, you know, one question that comes up a lot when I hear about these movements of God, we've got a really great friend, Caleb Wampler is a minister, and he travels to Muslim countries, to India. And God has just used this guy. He has people show up in the hundreds of thousands. They had one meeting early this year that had 300,000 people come out.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
There's a hunger in the world for the gospel. But you hear that from these other countries. And then right here in America, we are doing so much infighting in the church. And there's so much that's very concerning about just the church's impact and what is going on in culture. You're right. I mean, it's almost like the church, by and large, oftentimes looks like it's going the direction of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, from my perspective, I see the church really pulling from Scripture passages, oftentimes out of context, mm-hmm. and building entire dogmatic platforms based on those passages.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what we're seeing is a distorted view of the gospel.
Mm.
And to really, I think, to clear up our vision, we've got to be able to disentangle ourselves from those dogmatic commitments to see and hear.
Mm.
How many times does Jesus talk about having ears but not hearing, mm-hmm. having eyes but not seeing? I'm doing preparation for a presentation I'll give to a group of churches in Louisiana in May, and really looking at, you know, the first 8 chapters of Mark, kind of going back to that. And just this idea of, are you willing to get it? Is your mind malleable enough to change shape to accommodate the reality of who Christ really is? You know, he says new wine is meant for new wineskins, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's our task. That's the work ahead of us, is to take seriously the biblical witness, to be open to whatever it presents to us that seems legitimate and reliable, and to go live that out. And sometimes that's going to confront us, because sometimes it's going to challenge us, and we're not going to like what it has to say.
Is there any area in the country that you would see this being lived out in the right way?
I don't know that I can put my finger on any particular area, but I sure see pockets of it.
Mm-hmm.
I see communities, and if I can just say something that will seem a little preposterous, I'm here in Wilmore, Kentucky. We jokingly call this the Holy City. You know, if the South, you know, Mid-South is the Bible Belt of America, this is the buckle of the belt.
There you go.
And I'm surrounded by people who know Jesus and love him and follow him and are educated at the highest levels. But to be perfectly honest, if I really want to see the gospel living out, being lived out, I'm going to go to our local grocery store, the IGA, and I'm going to visit with my grocer, whose name is Leonard Fitch.
Mm.
And I tell you, Mike, he's got it dialed in.
There you go.
And I may even highlight him in my workshop in Orlando at the Expo, because he's living it out.
And that's
absolutely
exactly what I'm talking
out,
about.
Making a difference in our community.
It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to live it.
Amen. That's exactly right.
You know, I've just recently come to that realization once again. A fellow that I've worked with in the announcing business unexpectedly and very shockingly passed away. And, you know, I think back to the conversations that I didn't have with that person. And so when you find a guy like your grocer who is taking advantage wherever he can to do that, it really is an impressive thing and something that we should strive for in our own lives, I believe.
Amen. You know what? Why wouldn't we? It's a great gig.
Yeah.
The gospel is a great gig. I say to my students all the time and people I'm speaking to, if you've got something better than Jesus, let's have it. The clock's ticking on my life. I don't have as much time as I used to.
Right.
But if you don't have something better, then consider Jesus.
Yeah.
And just, you know, push out into the deep waters and just trust him.
I love that. I love that. That's quite a challenge to make to a person, because there is nothing better. And yet we can live, and even believers, this is what's sad. So many believers are living as if they do have a better plan. At least that's, they're functioning that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard it was the group from CCEF, David Pallison, who made the statement. He said, as David Pallison and Paul David Tripp, who said there is our functional belief and then there is our declared belief. And oftentimes there's a gap between those two things.
Right.
And the real trick, isn't it, is closing that gap.
Yeah, it is. You know, the gospel really is the way to life and the way to abundant living.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have eyes to see that, there will be nothing better. It'll be worth selling all that we have and going and buying the field containing the pearl.
Yeah,
right?
The pearl of great price.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It is that good. It really is. It's worth it.
So you're going to be speaking at the expo in April, and it sounds like this is just going to be one of the things that I have to catch that day. I'm going to clear my calendar when you're speaking, man. I want to hear it. And you're going to be here along with a lot of other people. Give us the website, how people can find out about your ministry, The Word Is Out, as well as perhaps Asbury in general.
Yeah, so you can find us on the web at www.thewordisout.com. That's the easiest way to find us. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and I don't really know social media so well, but there are some other things we're on. Asbury Seminary is just www.asburyseminary.edu,
mm-hmm.
And you can learn a lot about the work that's happening here in Kentucky, but we have extension sites. Two in Florida, one in Colorado, one in Oklahoma, one in Tennessee, and others on the way. So we're around.
What an honor it has been to have Dr. Brad Johnson with us today. He's going to be here April 18th through the 20th at the Business Expo with the U.S. Christian Chamber. Can't wait for that one. Thank you for being with me today.
Mike, thanks for the invitation. This has been delightful, and I really look forward to meeting you face-to-face.
Yeah, this is going to be great to get to do just that, my friend. And thank you, friends, for joining us on yet another program, Afternoons with Mike, heard daily here on The Shepherd. We'll see you next time.